So, dear readers, you might have been following the saga between the central bank Puma Energy and, of course, its parent Trafigura, and specifically the allegations of corruption, a kind of swirling behind the whole affair. Those of us that have enough electricity to read what's going on online all day long will see that Puma has faced a constant shortage of foreign exchange, or Forex. And the reason for this is that the central bank is trying to keep the kina pegged. Now, there's two ways of managing a currency. Either it's pegged or it's floating. Now, each central bank will have its own way of doing things. Usually those that are heavy traders of natural resources, they like pegged to peg their currency vis-a-vis foreign currencies, because that just makes life a whole lot easier. The problem with that, though, is that the central bank always needs to keep that pegged value. As you hear, I'm American, so the value for me in US dollars is about 3 to 1. And if that value stays right where it is, then everyone's cool and everything's okay. Now, if traders for some reason think that the kina is going to go up or it's going to go down, they're going to start to speculate. They're going to start to, let's say, sell the kina, sell, which is going to make the kina weaker, right? They're buying up these foreign currencies, they're buying them up, which means, well, where do we get the foreign currencies from? And ultimately, for companies like Puma, where do they get these foreign currencies from? Now, if Puma can't get enough foreign currency to buy the raw materials or the expertise or whatever it needs from abroad in hard, we call it hard money, usually, especially in Russia, where we're having similar energy crises, though at present they're doing pretty well. If a country is running out of hard money, specifically this foreign money, dollars, euros, etc., then the central bank will try and find clever ways of hoarding or keeping or somehow skirting around to make sure that it has the foreign exchange it needs so that it doesn't have to depreciate or devalue its currency. Now, the problem here is that the central bank, so far, as you see in the graphs that you might be looking at in the article, if it's in front of you, otherwise, I'll just tell you about them. The graphs show that the foreign exchange holdings of Papua New Guinea central bank right now, they're okay. There's nothing to panic about yet. But the future is always sooner than it appears. And so every central bank will always be very weary, and they'll always want to hoard or save up the foreign reserve as soon as they can. Which means that even if they have to do other things, like potentially accuse other companies that need this hard currency, accuse them of crimes like corruption, like money laundering. This might be one dirty tactic that an institution might use, though there's no evidence that I've seen that would suggest this as any kind of motive behind Papua New Guinea's case. I just want to highlight in this audio supplement to the article that central banks with fixed foreign reserve cases or holdings, they're always going to be trying to keep as much foreign reserves as they can. And so kind of the heartbeat indicator or the signal of health of a central bank in this kind of fixed exchange regime will be the amount of foreign reserves that it's holding. And that's why you see other Asian countries, Chinese, South Koreans, they're always putting out statements about how much foreign reserves they have, because they're always worried that once this vicious cycle of selling a currency or buying a currency, doing anything to change or manipulate the value of that currency, anytime they do anything at all in that direction, it could potentially break the fix. Now, once people start get to worried, like, will the foreign currency peg hold or not, then markets are going to start to react in, according to these animal spirits. They're going to buy and sell anyway, no matter what the underlying economic fundamentals are, which means that these speculators, these arbitrators, could get rich just by playing each other. So even though the central bank hasn't done anything wrong, and even though the underlying macroeconomic fundamentals are still okay, just simply whispers about arbitrators or third parties doing something is enough to potentially light kick off a currency crisis. So you have this is the institutional background in which every central bank that has a fixed or pegged currency finds itself. Now, against this background, you have allegations that might be true, might not be true. Nobody knows. I think there haven't been any declarations about money laundering, about a entity that is a user of foreign currency, which the central bank needs. And so the fact that the provider of this foreign currency would also be making statements about this company and its health and use of foreign currency would strike the impartial viewer as somewhat a conflict of interest. It's like accusing someone of not having enough money, and because just by making that accusation, everyone gets nervous, and so they start, let's say, withdrawing all their money from that person, or they stop doing business with that person, or their confidence of their business partners goes down. And as a consequence, just that simple gossip makes that thing come true. Economists call this a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so the worry in the Puma case specifically is that any kind of declaration, whether it's administrative, political, anything, just accidental, that a declaration could set off one of these self-fulfilling prophecies. And these are the bane of economists everywhere, because we know that any kind of animal spirits, some economists call them sunspots, any kind of news or any kind of speculation will cause markets to move, irregardless of fundamentals. So for those non-rebel, level-headed, smart economists in the audience, my advice is not that I give advice, but I would say to keep your eye on the fundamentals. Papua New Guinea has a healthy, strong, growing economy. Statements can be made, statements come and statements go, crimes come and crimes go. And at the end of the day, we'll see what happens. And that's all for now from the Rebel Economist. Best from Oxford.